The Saskatchewan government refuses to pay the carbon tax levy and the federal government threatens punishment. Canadian universities continue to advance the woke Marxist sexual agenda on their campuses. The CBC gives out tens of millions of dollars in bonuses even as they lay off hundreds of employees. A Calgary father literally fights for the life of his adult daughter who is seeking doctor-assisted murder. Our goal, as always, is to bring you news, culture, and politics from a distinctly Christian, conservative, and Canadian perspective. It's March 12th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. This is Liberty Dispatch News Brief. Make sure that you sign up for our Politics in the Pulpit Conference. This conference will help Christians engage in the political and cultural spheres in effective and godly ways. Rather than keeping politics out of the pulpit, Christians must speak boldly and clearly into Canadian culture and politics. You can join us at one of three locations. We will be in Weston, Nova Scotia on April 20th, Ingersoll, Ontario on May the 4th, and New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit and register today. Seats are limited, so secure your spot now. You can also email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com if you are so inclined and feel that you would like to financially support and donate toward the cost of the conference. If you believe that this is something that is valuable and needed in Canada, helping Christians think biblically about politics and culture, and you want to help see this thing happen well and hopefully lead to future instances of this kind of equipping work in Canada, then again, you can email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com and we can help you sort that out. But again, head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit. Make sure you register today for at least one of the three locations. I look forward to seeing you there. For those of you who attend, I will be in person at all three locations. Let's get into some news. The Saskatchewan government, after promising its own taxpayers relief, has officially refused to send Ottawa federal carbon levy funds from natural gas. Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe posted a video on X of Saskatchewan Energy Minister Dustin Duncan saying the following, quote, "Today I took a walk in the rain and made an important decision about the carbon tax. After the cold start that we've had to the week, we're all well aware that it's still winter in Saskatchewan. And Justin Trudeau continues to leave Saskatchewan people out in the cold. When asked what it would take to extend similar affordability relief to families in Western Canada, a Liberal minister suggested that we should elect more Liberals. That's no way to run a country. When our government does the same by taking carbon tax off natural gas for Saskatchewan families, the Trudeau government calls it anarchy. Has there ever been a more divisive federal government?" Close quote. Now, Environment Minister Stephen Gilboa is obviously upset that Premier Scott Moe has not bowed to the petty tyranny of the federal government. And so he had this to say to reporters last week, quote, "If Premier Scott Moe decides that he wants to start breaking laws and not respecting federal laws, then measures will have to be taken," close quote. Now, apparently not paying the amounts to the federal government can incur fines or even jail time, which the Saskatchewan government is okay to deal with. Now, what's interesting in all of this is that according to Statistics Canada, by removing the carbon tax on home heating, the province of Saskatchewan reduced the impacts of inflation among its own people. So according to the federal agency's Consumer Price Index, inflation in Saskatchewan fell from 2.7% in January to 1.9% the following month by not forcing this carbon tax or carbon punishment upon its own people. Now, Crown Investments Minister Dustin Duncan said, quote, "If the federal government is actually serious about fighting inflation, they need to remove the carbon tax on everyone and everything," close quote, which is a valid point. But if there's one thing you can count on from the Liberal government, it's policies that will harm Canadians and destroy both our economic prosperity and national cohesion. Case in point, According to a newly obtained document from the Toronto Star, the Liberal government, which is committed to 500,000 new immigrants in Canada each year, originally wanted as many as 1 million new immigrants each year. Now, they eventually decided to drop numbers, which is better, of course, but the fact that they considered it is very problematic. The housing crisis in Canada, the welfare system on overload, and the woefully inefficient healthcare system are all reasons that we should stop mass immigration just because apparently it is the right thing to do, according to our leaders. So just so I can highlight the incompetence of the federal government some more, former Immigration Minister Marco Mendicino told reporters this in 2020, quote, "Before the pandemic, our government's goal to drive the economy forward through immigration was ambitious. Now it is simply vital," close quote. I mean, that is completely illogical, and we have seen the exact opposite effect. We have seen that our economy has been ground into dust, and people are suffering, and people are having a more difficult time, unlike we can remember in recent memory, in part because we are bringing in so many people who, by the way, don't share, many of them do not share the particular Canadian Western values that you would say is appropriate if you were to become a part of a new country and a new nation, which, for example, my grandparents, who were immigrants to Canada after the Second World War, they did just that. Not only do you have that, but the burden this puts on our already decrepit socialistic system is obviously anything but helpful. Now, we can't discuss the deficiencies in Canadian politics without including the NDP. Of course, they always have to be a part of the discussion. And the NDP plans to introduce a motion in Parliament next week calling on the Canadian government to recognize Palestine as a state. So rather than condemn certain groups as terrorist groups, the NDP says, no, this is what matters. We need to recognize Palestine as a state. Now, here are some portions of this garbage motion being put forth by the Communist Party of Canada, the NDP. Quote, "Jewish, Muslim, Arab, and Palestinian Canadians have reported an increase in hate-motivated attacks and racism since October. Palestinians and Israelis both deserve to live in peace, with full enjoyment of their human rights and democratic freedoms," close quote. Now, I would venture that of all the groups that have seen a reported increase in hate-motivated attacks and racism since October, my guess would be it's Jewish Canadians that have seen it far in a way. This is made evident by the plethora of videos we're seeing of protests, of the vandalism that's happening, of the arson that's taking place. It's only going one way. This is all there is to it. It is only going one way, and it is against Jewish Canadians. Now, this gobbledygook of an idea of the mutual peace, and if only we can figure some sort of way to make this happen between what's happening in Israel and in Gaza, right, the Palestinian Authority, this is ahistorical, gaslighting garbage. This is how we know it's true, okay? If today Palestine said, no more fighting, we're laying down our arms, we're giving up our weapons, there would be peace in Israel today. There would be no more fighting, no more wars, despite what the lefties would have you say. This is the truth. If Palestine said today, no more guns, no more fighting, we're done, there would be peace in Israel. Now, if Israel said, no more fighting, we're laying down our arms, no more weapons, Jews would be eradicated in Israel within the month. That is a fact. There is no disputing it. So don't buy the anti-Semitic garbage from the NDP that what we're dealing with here is two kind of equal evils here. And what we need to do is find some sort of way to bring them both to the table. That's nonsense. The motion being put forth by the NDP calls on Canada to, quote, advocate for an end to the decades-long occupation of Palestinian territories and work toward a two-state solution, close quote. Also utter nonsense. How do we know this? Because Israel has proposed four separate two-state solutions in the last 150 years, and all of them have been rejected by the Palestinians. And the reason is because they want one thing and one thing only: the total eradication of the Jews in Israel. They do not want an Israeli state. They do not want Jewish people to exist, especially in that part of the country. That's what we're dealing with here. Now, what's astonishing about all of this is even the liberals are opposing this motion, which tells you just how bad it is. Liberal MP Anthony Housefather said this, quote, "It should come as no surprise to anyone that I will strongly and forcefully oppose the NDP Opposition Day motion on March 18th that would reverse 50 years of Canadian foreign policy and unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state, thus rewarding Hamas for its pogrom of October 7th. Close quote. I mean, that's a rational, sane thing from the mouth of a liberal MP, which is exceedingly rare in Canadian politics, but nevertheless, he's absolutely correct. Do you love coffee? What about free coffee? I'm sure you love free coffee. What about free shipping on free coffee? Well, maybe it's time for you to consider becoming a resistance outpost. The mission of Resistance Coffee is to supply the resistance with premium fresh roasted coffee. In order to do this, they want to partner with like-minded people to develop a network of outposts across the country. If you love free coffee and free shipping as much as free markets, get in touch with Resistance Coffee and become an outpost today. Email them at info@resistancecoffee.com to find out more, to have your questions answered, and maybe even become an outpost today. We also want to make sure that you take advantage of the relationship that we have with Resistance Coffee. I was speaking with some of the people the other day, and they've told me that since we have been advertising for them again, only a few people have taken advantage of the Liberty 10 code and received 10% off their purchase. So I don't know what to say here other than to quote R.C. Sproul and ask, what's wrong with you people? Because you have to be buying coffee from Resistance, but why are you not availing yourselves of a 10% off coupon? So I want to remind you again, when you go to resistancecoffee.com, make sure you use that promo code LIBERTY10, the word Liberty and the number 10. You get 10% off coffee and merch, your entire purchase, 10% off. And it's not a one-time use deal. You can keep using this. This is for our listeners and our supporters. Keep using that code LIBERTY10 to get 10% off your entire purchase at resistancecoffee.com. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't buy my coffee from Resistance Coffee, I either buy, you know, garbage, burnt, bitter stuff from the grocery store, or I buy my coffee from woke monsters that hate me, that worship the beast and hate my way of life, like Starbucks and McDonald's or Tim Hortons or some other rainbow-infested independent coffee shop somewhere in the downtown core of your city. And to all of you, I would say again, what's wrong with you people? Head over to resistancecoffee.com. These are people who love the Lord, who make really, really good coffee, who want to fuel the true resistance in Canada, which is not about taking up arms, but about establishing a godly culture in our country. Resistancecoffee.com, use promo code LIBERTY10, and you can email info@resistancecoffee.com to become an outpost today. The woke behemoth continues its march to consume all of Canadian life and culture, desiring ultimately to wipe out every vestige of Western culture and biblical Christianity within our country. And universities, as they have been for a while, are leading the way. They are the vanguard of this woke behemoth. The Columbia Icefield Fitness Center at the University of Waterloo is promoting segregation based on fake sexual identities, sinful sexual desires, and made-up genders by blocking off certain times for people who have given themselves over to sin and sexual deviancy. And yes, by the way, that would all probably be considered hate speech according to the Online Harms Act. So I figure I'll get it out of the way now before it becomes legislation. Even though it's retroactive, it doesn't matter. That's what it is. Now, there was a welcome sign with the following instructions regarding what's happening at the Columbia Icefield Fitness Center. So on Mondays and Wednesdays between 1 p.m. and 2:30 p.m., quote, women's, cis, and trans only programming aims to provide a safe, comfortable, inclusive, and fun atmosphere for women. These hours are supervised by women staff, close quote. Remember, when they say trans women, they mean men. And also, what is a woman, University of Waterloo? Now, on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 1 p.m. and 2:30 p.m., quote, trans, non-binary, and sexual minority programming aims to provide a safe, comfortable, inclusive, and fun atmosphere for trans and non-binary people, as well as the sexual minority community. Friends are welcome if invited by members of this community, close quote. So, you either have to be a sexual sinner or be invited by a sexual sinner to swim during these hours. So, way to go, University of Waterloo. And by the way, Waterloo, if you know anything about what's happening with the school board there, Waterloo is trying so very hard to secure its position as the depravity capital of Canada. And I think they're close, but that honor might go to my former city of residence, which is Kingston, Ontario. And we've covered some of the absolute nonsense coming out of Kingston. Remember, this is the city that will punish teachers for encouraging students to not keep secrets from their parents. Kingston, the city with a severe lack of medical professionals, even though it has arguably one of the most prestigious teaching hospitals in the country, because no one wants to work in that hot mess. Yes, that Kingston, which is the modern Sodom and Gomorrah, apparently Queen's University, which by the way is one of the most woke universities in the country, is investigating a Palestine flag being raised on the clock tower by students on campus. Now, originally, the university said it was a hate-motivated break and enter, but they backtracked the hate-motivated part, obviously because they need to keep their woke bona fides up to date and active. Now, this, by the way, is not the first time that Queens has been home to anti-Semitism and hatred since the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th of last year. Last fall, police were called to an off-campus Halloween party after three Queens students reportedly showed up dressed as Hamas terrorists and made threats to the Jewish community. One of the individuals was allegedly armed with a knife. Now, police in Queen's University conducted an investigation, which I'm sure was about as thorough as me looking at something from a mile away and trying to discern what it is, and no charges were laid, not surprising at all. On top of that, the Queen's Gender Studies Department, in the weeks following October 7th, issued a statement of solidarity with Palestine that attempted to add some nuance to the attack. Let's contextualize it a little bit, the Gender Studies Department attempted to do. Now, the statement that they released denounced Israel as a settler colonial state. Ironically enough, the department has said nothing about how Sodomites are actually allowed to live freely in Israel and even occupy positions of government, even though they are killed and brutalized in Palestine in some of the most awful ways that everyone can agree are evil and completely godless. But their hatred of the West blinds them to objective reality. And so they have a kind of cognitive dissonance and a compartmentalization that makes your head spin. Moving on. The CPC, the Canadian Pravda Corporation, formerly known as the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is, as we know, an utterly failed institution in Canada. The public neither supports nor funds the CPC. It has plunged itself into irrelevance. It is effectively the media propaganda arm of our state. It is also a black hole of tax dollars, which are poured into it by our federal government, because they need to fund their public mouthpiece. Someone needs to spread their propaganda. So in 2023, as we recall, the CPC. By the way, I'm going to keep calling them the CPC, except for when I'm quoting an article that says the CBC, because we like to say things as they actually are. And even though that's not the name that they've given themselves, this is their true identity. So the CPC announced that it would be laying off hundreds of employees, if you remember, we covered this, due to some of the reasons I just mentioned, that the public doesn't support it, that it's a failed institution, that it's not trusted, that it's garbage, that its programming is terrible, you know, all valid reasons to not support something. So they had to lay off a bunch of people. Now, you would think that this would be a cause to tighten up spending, right? Stop wasting money. We have to let people go. Let's rear in our spending. But that would actually make you a reasonable and responsible person, of which the CPC actually has none on staff. So according to an access to information record obtained by the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, the CPC distributed a massive $14.9 million in bonuses throughout 2023. That brings the total number of bonuses since 2015 up to $114 million for, I would remind you, a failed media organization being kept on life support by our federal government. Now, Canadian Taxpayer Federation Director Franco Terrazzano had this to say, quote, CBC President Catherine Tate is wrong to hand out bonuses while announcing hundreds of job losses and begging the government for more taxpayer cash, close quote. 1,143 employees received bonuses, and because the data provided only goes to the end of October, the amount is probably higher than the $15 million that we know of. The emperor of the state mouthpiece, Catherine Tate, obviously defended the bonuses because statists must always fleece the people for their own benefit. There were also $11.5 million in raises at the state mouthpiece organization in the 2023-2024 fiscal year. Tate, by the way, makes about $500,000 each year, and that's only what's on the books. Finally, we have what is really an awful story. I mean, this is a terrible story coming out of Calgary, showcasing the damage that evil policies can do and the true nature of progressivism, which is a death cult. And the story, before we get into it, I hope you understand that this is where things are moving in our country. Stories like this will become more normal and they will become more regular. And this is what the culture in Canada has become. Progressivism is a death cult. You murder babies before they're born. You sterilize children so they can't reproduce. You kill old people because they're an inconvenience. You encourage people to engage in sodomy so they can't reproduce. You encourage people to get married much later and not have any kids, or maybe one. And now you also encourage people who have some form of mental illness or who are struggling with something very real to also kill themselves. This is the horrid face of progressivism, and it is only going to get worse in our country. Apparently, a young woman in Calgary who is of age to request doctor-assisted murder applied on February 1st to take her own life and was approved by Alberta Health Services, which is one of the most evil and mafia-esque bureaucracies in our country. They were essentially the brains behind the arrest of Alberta pastors during the COVID era. Now, thankfully, the father of this woman filed and was granted a court injunction on March 1st so that she couldn't just go ahead and kill herself. Now, the young woman is unemployed and living at home. This is probably due to her father's objections for her killing herself. Okay, so in 2021, she was diagnosed with autism and ADHD, and her father asserts that she lacks the mental capacity to make this kind of decision. She argues, however, that denying the ability to kill herself infringes on her charter rights, namely her Section 7 rights, which states, quote, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of the person and the right not to be deprived thereof except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice, close quote. This, by the way, is the insanity of wokeism. It is the insanity of this satanic death cult ideology that you would try to argue that a section of the charter which guarantees the right to life, liberty, and security is justification for why you need to end your life. And by the way, this is what she has been taught and fed and brainwashed to believe by this same progressive demonic ideology. Now, her lawyer, who is, I mean, has to be a demon in disguise. He has to be an agent of Satan in disguise, says that it's wrong to block her medical autonomy. The father is saying that because she's unfit to make this decision, AHS has neglected to do its administrative duty, arguing that this would be a wrongful death. No decision has been made as of yet by the judge, and this is still a developing story, which we'll be talking about, and it is a truly harrowing story at that. So how do we end off today's episode? Well, I want to speak to parents here. When you let your children go through 12 years of Marxist indoctrination in the state-run education system, what you end up with is children who have been brainwashed into thinking that life is purely biotic and that inherent value given to us by God, having been made in his image, is only a myth. This is not like it was 20 years ago, which, by the way, was still infested with wokeism. I remember the incessant teaching, the elevating of multiculturalism as some sort of grand value, when we know clearly that competing cultures cannot coincide together. I remember being in elementary school and being taught a very slanted view of Indigenous history in Canada and how the relationship between Europeans and Native people were. Not to say that it was all good, of course not. But I remember woke ideology even 20, 30 years ago in elementary school. So it's never really been good. It is way worse now. We're not even on the slippery slope. The bottom of the slippery slope has a ramp, and the whole slope is greased up with oil, and we have officially launched off of the ramp and are in midair. That is the nature of public education in the country. So please, for the sake of the souls, and as we are seeing with that last story, even the lives of your children, get them out of this godless death cult system and take responsibility for the discipline and instruction of your children, whether it's homeschooling or classical Christian education. If your church, by the way, will not help or support you to do whatever you must do for the sake of your children, then you must leave that church immediately, because they don't care about the spiritual well-being of your family. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they spin it. If they're not ready to help you to do whatever you need to do to get your children out of these demon schools, the church does not care about the spiritual well-being of your family. Moms, I plead with you, stop believing the feminist lie that what your family needs is you working and being a boss babe, so that you can have two cars, a bigger house, and nicer vacations. You have been lied to, and your family has been paying the price, and it is destroying your home. Husbands, it's time to man up. Lead your families and work your butt off to provide your family. Now, you might be thinking I'm being archaic, antiquated, too traditional. You might say, Andrew, times have changed. We're not in the 50s anymore. With respect, if you believe that, understand that your worldview has led to the decay and the ruin of our culture. So it's time to abandon your godless thinking and embrace the Lord's commands regarding marriage and the family. God's ways are always for our best. Always. Well, there you have it, friends. You are all up to date. Make sure you head over to resistancecoffee.com. Buy some good coffee today. Use that promo code Liberty10. Get 10% off your entire purchase. You have to. It's good stuff. I'm currently working through a bag of Mischief Makers right now, and it is delicious. It makes my mornings fantastic, or middle of the day, or late, depending on the age of our guests when we have them over for dinner. ResistanceCoffee.com. Get some good coffee. Promo Liberty Code 10. And also head over to LibertyCoalitionCanada.com/politicsinthepulpit. Make sure you register for our Politics in the Pulpit conference. We truly believe it will be a blessing to Christians in our country as we help them to understand better the nature of the state, the Christians and the church's relationship to the state, how Christians must be thinking about political and cultural engagement in various different ways. It is going to be theological. It is going to be based in the scriptures, but it will also be deeply, deeply practical in terms of having lots of real application. Even the vendors that we're going to have, we will have some people and some tables set up at all of the conferences. We're going to have the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, Action for Canada, the Christian Heritage Party in Ontario. We're going to have the Ontario Party there as well. We want to offer, Ezra Institute's going to have some stuff set up, specifically resources like Ruler of Kings for politics, for government. The whole point of this is for you to be taught, for you to learn, for you to have your mind stretched in the area of the Christian and politics, and then to leave with actual, practical, tangible ways for you to be involved, for you to be involved with the political party, to be involved in some sort of activism, for you to be involved in the work of anti-abortion, to be trained up, whatever. We want people to leave and to be engaged and to actually do good work in our country. So if you've been thinking about these things, if you've been wrestling, if you're anywhere near these locations, then get your butt to one of the three spots. Register today, libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit. You do not want to miss this one. Until next time, friends, Galatians 5:1. Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.